Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We hope that you find this encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, then visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
The world is an angry place, isn't it? And you know what? The world's getting angrier. This morning I'm going to talk about anger from the book of Proverbs and why, if we don't get a grip on anger, it'll destroy us. Because the world that we live in, will you believe it or believe it not, is getting more angry as each year goes on. I was reading the Sunday Times recently because it sounds very posh. I wasn't actually. I just Googled this. And Sunday Times magazine did a thing about anger in the UK. And here's some of the statistics. Listen to these that they came up with in a survey. 45% of us regularly lose our temper at work. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands after the end, you know, but if that's you, everybody looks down. 64% of Britons working in an office have had office rage, like your man. 38% of men are unhappy at work. 27% of nurses have been attacked at work. That's not so funny. Up to 60% of all absences from work are caused by stress. Now, this is funny. 33% of Britons are not on speaking terms with their neighbours. What about this one? 1 in 20 of us have had a fight with the person next door. Now, that doesn't mean we've had words. That actually means we've had a digging match with them, like over the fence and smack them on the nose. Do you see a hand? Well, in a gathering this size today, there's probably about 10 of you, if the stats are right. UK Airlines have reported 1,486 significant or serious acts of air rage in a year. That's a 59% increase over 2006. The UK, and this is where the Lord is convicting me, but it has the second worst road rage in the world. After South Africa, more than 80% of drivers say they've been involved in road rage incidents. Can I just say I'm really sorry? I'm really sorry, because if you take me out of that, the stats would drop quite low. 71% of internet users admit to having suffered net rage. Have you ever thought, oh, connect, come on, just connect. Like that. 50% of us have reacted to a computer problem by hitting our PC or hurling parts of it. Can I have a hand? Come on. See? Know what's going on. And again, not so funny, but 53% of people have been the victims of bullying at work. The world is getting angrier. The world that we live in is getting more inept at dealing with the stress of life and dealing with how life deals with them. We don't have a mechanism to cope with the stresses that come our way. That's the story of the world. And the point is this, when we come to the Word of God, there is loads of practical wisdom about anger. Now, you might be sitting here this morning going, do you know what? I might have a bit of a temper, but this really doesn't apply to me. Let me tell you, we're going to look at some verses this morning that say it doesn't matter who you are, it applies to you. Let's look at some of the verses that come up in Proverbs. In 14:29, it says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. In 14, verse 17, it says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over all sins. Now, you might be quick-tempered here this morning. You might live with someone who's angry. You might understand full well the horrible consequences of dealing with somebody's anger and having to deal with it. And I want to tell you this morning I hope that we're going to get a proper understanding of what anger is about and why it's so important, it's crucial actually to understand that whenever we deal with anger, if we don't do it in a godly way, it's going to destroy us. And particularly in churches, many of us are dead good at putting on the church face when we come in the mornings, aren't we? And going, life's just wonderful, praise the Lord, it's so great to be here. But I'm going to tell you a few stories about myself this morning that might, you know, listen up is what I'm saying. Let's take the faces down for a wee bit because we're dealing with issues of the heart here this morning. And oftentimes we can put the right face on and we can give all the right impressions, but this morning the Holy Spirit wants to minister to your heart because that's where the seat of this is. So what are we actually talking about? I asked David Goodwin this week when we were in the office, I said, explain to me what happens whenever you feel angry. There are different kinds of anger. There are different kinds of feeling. But what is actually going on whenever you feel angry? Now, you might be someone who explodes. I'm not explosive, but I would be more out there. If something annoys me, I would be more kind of, ah. Some people don't do that, but they simmer under the surface. Isn't that right? They kind of grit their teeth and they go, well, I'll get you one day, you slobber. Again, that's not me. But I've dealt with people like that. What about when somebody takes your parking space? Oh, come on. Johnny. the point is this, we all react differently, but to actually define anger, it's this, it's a strong emotion of displeasure caused by some type of grievance, whether it's real or you imagine it. Now, in the world, in cognitive behavior theory, they attribute anger, that strong emotion of displeasure, to a number of factors. They say it's your past experience. You've been hurt in the past, and then when you come into a similar situation, you react, and it's all about how you were dealt with in the past. Maybe it's just the way you've learned to behave. If you live with anger, you're going to probably be angry. Anyone who lived with an angry parent or an explosive parent, what you find, and you even find it with children, where you live with anger, that's how you will exhibit normally when you get older. Some people say it's genetically predisposed. I don't agree with that at all. And some people say it's a lack of problem-solving ability. So what that means is this. Whenever life deals something to you, something comes into your life, it may be this week, it might be in the next few days, and you just don't know how to deal with it. Some people get angry because it's like, I don't have any control and I don't know how to change this. And often our reaction is either simmering, we explode. It can be in finances is a great example of that. When you feel it's out of your control and you can't solve it, oftentimes it can either crush us or we just get real mad. We get angry at our bosses, our finance, all that kind of stuff. Angry people always blame their reaction on the outside world. It's on some other person, some other event, but the Word of God is going to show us this morning that rarely do we realize that anger is actually due to an irrational perception of what we see around us. And unless we start to understand that, then we will forever be angry. Angry people have a certain expectation of the world, and when that reality does not meet what they think, they feel this strong emotion of displeasure. Does anybody understand that? And some of us are very good at holding it in, and some of us are not so good. Either way, the strong emotion of displeasure that we feel grieved by will either kill us or will absolutely release us into the fullness of God. Really? How does that work? I want to say anger is serious. My anger issues mostly revolve around the car. If you've ever seen, I used to drive quite a bit in my last job, going to see clients and all that kind of stuff. And if you ever saw me in the Westlink before they got all that work done, I have to say, you wouldn't even have thought I was a Christian. I was greatly moved by the movie Anger Management. And one of the strategies for coping with anger, it's a Jack Nicholson movie, is that he sang a song. Does anyone know the movie? Well, the song goes, I feel pretty, oh so pretty. And so in moments whenever you would feel really angry, he would tell this guy to sing, I feel pretty, oh so pretty. So one day in the Westlink, there was a lady who cut me up. And after I had prayed for her, she drove right in front of me putting her makeup on. I am not lying. And I was like, oh God, I was on the horn. I had the window down. I was gesturing to her to move on, kind of. And my fingers might have got slightly mixed up in that. Because what I was wanting to say was, yes, please drive in front of me and cut me up and almost drive me off the road while you're doing your lipstick. And I felt this moment, and the Lord said to me, I feel pretty. So I started to hum, I feel pretty. And then I got really angry, thinking, what are you doing, you numpty? This doesn't work. And it didn't help me. But honestly, in my life, whenever I feel like somebody has cut into me, I don't react well. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm learning and God is teaching me, particularly in the car. I mean, Penny is amazed because many times she'll say to me, Andrew, it's amazing the number of idiots you have to share the road with. And I go, isn't it just? And she goes, well, they're not in the road when I'm out. And I kind of go, well. Yeah, Penny is actually probably one of them, to be fair. So you might say I've got a bit of a temper, but it's not that bad. And why are you going to talk about this today anyway? I'm going to tell you this. Anger is serious. And unless it's dealt with and channeled in a godly way, your life will not work. Whether you explode or whether you simmer, let's not make any bones about it. Anger is devastating. It brings destruction into your life. It brings devastation. And it's not just having a wee bit of a temper. It's not. It's way, way more than that. I want to tell you this. It even affects you physically. Let me put it really simply. You cannot live in ungodly anger and live well. And you can't, you know, you can put the face on every Sunday if you want, but I want to tell you here, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you this morning about the root of anger and the root of that feeling of grievance. Because when you live with that, and whether you're a good Christian who can keep it all under wraps but never really deal with it, or you just explode continually, the destruction is the same. Really? Absolutely. Let me read you this. This is from a medical journal that I read this week. Anger triggers the body's fight or flight response. Other emotions that trigger this response include fear, excitement, and anxiety. The adrenal glands flood the body with stress hormones. Ever felt that when you're angry? Ooh, body starts to fill, such as adrenaline and cortisol. The brain shunts away blood from the gut and towards the muscles in preparation for physical exertion. That's that fight or flight. You start to feel angry and you're going to dig someone. Your heart rate, your blood pressure, and your respiration actually increase. The body temperature rises and the skin perspires. The mind is sharpened and it is focused. This is the physical effect of what's going on in your heart. Then this is the result of this. If you live like that, well, look, this medical doctor said this, the constant flood of stress chemicals and associated metabolic changes that accompany recurrent unmanaged anger will eventually cause harm to many different systems of the body. Some of the short and long-term health problems that have been linked to unmanaged anger include headaches, digestion problems, abdominal pain, insomnia, increased anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems such as eczema, heart attacks, and strokes. Anger is serious. And that's why we've got to let the Lord speak right into our hearts today about the source of our anger, because God says, don't live with that inside you because it will kill you. Straight up, this really challenged me, honestly. But I want to tell you this, that your life will start to work and you will see an acceleration of the fullness of God in your life whenever you understand the root of anger and understand how to channel it. It will actually bring about the fullness of God. It will accelerate your experience of love and grace in you and through you. Because that's what the Word says. It might surprise you, but actually, anger is a God-given capacity. It might surprise you to hear that, but actually, the reason why you feel anger is because God gave you that ability. Many of us have been told, you know, that Christians were some kind of nighty-wearing, tree-hugging, kumbaya-singing sort of softies. So whenever anybody comes against you and they're upset with you, what you do is you just go, oh, well, that's just, I need to love even more. Well, there's part of that's quite true and part of it's complete nonsense. You see, part of us has been given the ability to feel anger. It's a capacity given by God. It's he who has put it there from you. And what happens is this. We have been told, many of us, that if you feel angry, it's from the devil and you need to get it out of your life. Not true. The devil has never created anything. He didn't create you with the ability to feel anything. What the devil does and the enemy does in your life is he takes what God has put in you and he distorts it. He twists it and he makes it like a caricature of what it really is. So let's take love as an example. The devil never created love. But when the work of the enemy and darkness in your life and in other people's lives takes love and it twists it into lust, which becomes self-serving, self-seeking, and all about you. The devil never created you with a temper. God did. Now, what happens is this. It's not from the devil, but the way that you might use it and the way it might operate in your life might be bringing death and destruction in. Because it might be currently being perverted by the work of darkness. But I want to tell you this. Let's be absolutely clear that anger is a God-given capacity. And there is a proper use of it in your life. You're supposed, instead of trying to rid yourself of anger and rid yourself of that feeling, what we're meant to do is actually be people who understand why we have been given the capacity and start to channel it in the right direction. And when we do that, we actually see fullness in our lives. Many of us use it all the wrong way. We get angry at other people. We are angry at God, some of us. Some of us are just angry at ourselves. And all the time we are angry with everything else out there. All we are doing is bringing destruction into our own lives. It destroys relationships. It destroys your heart. It destroys everything that is good about God in your life whenever you hold on to that feeling of complete displeasure. It's funny, on Friday we were going to meet a pastor. Friend of ours in Port Stewart, Penny and I. And we were going up the road. We had Ben and Hope in the car. And, you know, here we are going to meet this pastor. And it was funny. And we ended up having a Barney. But me and Penny were having words. Any married people understand this? So we were having discussions, actually about church, would you believe? And so we're going up the road to meet this pastor, going to be all holy and have a kind of time together. And we got to about Ballymoney and the wheels were coming off. So I was cross with Penny. She was really cross with me. And then Ben, obviously, who's 7, pipes up in the background, Daddy, you're always going on at Mummy. And I was like, give you over. So then I was shouting at Ben, all right? And then Ben was shouting at Mummy because Daddy was cross with Ben. And before we knew it, we were all angry with each other. And then you have, you know, the obligatory 10 miles of silence. Does anybody understand this? Yeah? Or is it just us? Maybe you need to pray for your pastor this morning. We had the obligatory 10 miles of silence with Ben occasionally popping up going, "Daddy, you're really awful to mummy." "No, I'm not." And I was real cross. And then Penny, being the kind of virtue of grace and love that she is, went, "Okay, ceasefire. Everybody, time out. Time out." And inside I was going, "Bog off. I'll time out you. All right?" And she said, "We cannot go and see this pastor, Andrew. We're not even talking to one another." I'm going, "Tough, we're going at 11 and you're going to have a smile on your face, all right?" Does anybody know what that's like? And then I started to go, "Oh, don't be so ridiculous." But then my pride kicked in. I was like, "No, she was wrong. She was definitely wrong. I'm not saying sorry to her. I know." I'm getting my point over now, but I was going, "No, she's definitely wrong." And then I thought, "I have to apologize to Ben, because that was right. Ben, I'm really sorry." And he was, "Hmm." And I felt the Lord saying, "And what about your wife?" And I'm going, "But she's wrong. She apologizes first, and then it's all good to go. And I'll put my game face on with Alan and Catherine Scott. It'll be fine. It'll all be good, but she's definitely wrong." And I have to say, the atmosphere in our car was horrific. And you know what? Do you know why it was horrific? Because of me. Because I was so pig-headed and stubborn, and I was right. And that was the root of my anger towards my wife on Friday morning. And this is the great thing about whenever you speak. During like 5 miles into the 10-mile silence, Penny said to me, "You know," and at this point I was actually going to dig her one. She said, "Huh, well, at least you've got plenty to talk about on Sunday." So if you just want to reach your hands out and pray for us as a family. See, the point is this. We get angry at other people. We then get angry at ourselves. We're angry at God. And all the time, all it's doing is sowing death and destruction and division and hatred and discord into our lives. Anger is serious. You got to read it out. You got to read it out of your life. What does the word actually say about anger? I'm going to Greek it up for a wee minute here so that we understand. Because actually in the Bible, once we start to understand what anger is from the word, you start to understand how you can be free from the wrong kind of anger and start to channel those emotions into actually helping you to come into fullness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, this is what we read. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." So be angry and don't sin. What it's saying straight away is this: it's possible to have that capacity for anger and for temper and not be in sin. Okay? "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, here's the point. The first word, "be angry" there, and "do not sin," is the word orge in Greek, O-R-G-E. And this is the kind of feeling that Jesus had. It's used of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. Whenever Jesus was angry and he felt angry, and what it means is this. It's on a, anger is on a scale. And this word was used of Jesus, and it's also used of us. And it means to have settled opposition. So sometimes when you're angry, what's happening is you're going, "I'm opposed to what's coming against me," and you settle against it. Now, the word says that's fine as long as you're settling against the right things. Because that's what Jesus did. Whenever he saw things that really were anti-kingdom, were putting people in bondage, he got mad. And the word that's used the whole way through the New Testament whenever Jesus felt anger was orge. It means be opposed and be settled and stand against that which you see. You have the capacity for that this morning because that's the capacity that God has put in you. It's a positive thing whenever God inspires you, but it's always negative when you act out of your flesh. So whenever you act out of yourself and your sense of hurt, whenever you do that, orge will destroy you. But as we become more like Jesus, as we understand of his love and his grace in our lives, our capacity for orge, for that settled opposition, is one of the most positive influencing things that we can have. And I'm going to show you why in a moment. It says then, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." Whenever I first got married, what I thought that meant was when you and your wife were having an argument, you just stayed up all night and fought. You know what I mean? It's like, well, if you're going to fight, just as long as you don't go to sleep. It doesn't mean that. Some people have said, well, what it means is this holy anger that God has put in you, don't let the sun go down on that. Well, actually, that's not true to the text either. Because the word that he says here, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, he uses a different word here, which is perorgismos. This is simmering hostility. It's a steady burning. It's bitterness. It festers in your heart. And he says, if you simmer in your heart and you let that sit, that's what I mean, let the sun go down, you don't deal with that. The devil has riot in your life. It's the gateway to all sorts of evil and nonsense coming into your life when you simmer and you don't let the sun go down on that. What he's saying is deal with it. Understand it and deal with it. And then there's this other word in verse 31. It's thymos in Greek, passion. And it means angry, heat, boiling up, and then it soon goes away again. So there's different types of anger, but it all has the same result. They're a doorway to let the devil into your life and will rob you of the fullness that God has for you. Now, how do you deal with it? I want to say this. If you live and you're the one of these people who either simmers or blows up, who gets frustrated and gets angry with other people or with God, deal with it. It's going to reap into your body physically. It's going to destroy relationships around you. And everything that God's trying to do to get you rooted and grounded in his love, in his grace, in his favor, in his prosperity, and in his goodness, you're going to work against it by holding anger in your heart. Why? Because if you don't deal with it properly, the devil gets a foothold in to bring death and destruction. We need to understand that anger and the source of it is all about us. What separates this good orge, this good anger from destructive anger? It's simply this. Are you serving yourself or is it for the benefit of other people? Proverbs 13:10 says this. By pride comes nothing but strife. Only by pride comes strife in some versions. And in James 3:16 it says this. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So God wants you to flow in his love. He wants you to flow in power. He wants you to see abundance. But if you are wrapped up in you, you will block the flow of God in your life. That's what it means. Only by pride do you see every evil work. So the root of your anger, the root of that feeling of I want to deck that person, or I am so offended, or how dare they? The root of all of that is simply this, according to the word of God. You're focused on you. Pride only leads to instability. The word for confusion and strife, actually, is this word akathisia, which means instability and disorder. It's an absolute truth. It's not dependent on anything. It's not about your personality, your upbringing, your culture, your circumstances, your husband, your wife, your kids, your job, your finances, your health. It's only by pride, by being self-centered and focused on you and not Jesus and his work for you, do you see this anger in your life. And it destroys you. We need to be really careful. That's why we talk in this church about get established and get rooted and get made stable in God's love for you, because the two things are totally incompatible. If your life is a continual cycle of being fed up with other people and how they're treating you, do you know what you need? You need a big dose of God's love. You need a big dose of God's acceptance. You need a big dose of God's grace, because the more you focus on Jesus and his incredible work for you and how much he loves you, what happens is this, the journey, as I've said over the last number of weeks, is away from you and what you do and all about your life to Jesus and his incredible work. And as his love grows in you, it flows out. That's why being grounded in love is critical for life. And that's why angry people are people who have not been made perfect in love. That's why we minister love and grace in this church, because it's the only thing that will actually get into your heart and heal you. Honestly, pride in one sense is all about thinking of yourself, better of yourself. It's all about me, it's who I am, and it's what I do. And if you live like that, there's no room for God's love and grace. When it's all about you, where does God go? An attitude of pride, which is all about you, says, I deserve, I'm better than, at least I'm not like him or her. We draw comparisons with other people, don't we? We often debase other people when we're proud. Pride. I'm going to do it in a Dublin accent now, obviously. Pride holds on to hurt. It judges motives. It makes critical judgments. It feels justified in offense. Pride, self-centeredness, is the root of your anger. It's not about the person who cuts you up. The root of your anger is you. Let that sink for a minute. Because many of us maybe have gone through life going, my dad did this to me. My pastor did that to me. Well, see him? You want to know the way he treated me. You know what? We can all wear the t-shirt and put it up. But when we come to the word,
the great leveler is this, that the root of your anger is you. That's why you get rooted and grounded and established in love. Because when love comes in, it drives out all of that muck and filth. Whenever you're more captivated by Jesus and what he says about you, what he has done in you, what he speaks over your life, what he has, you know, when I've talked over the last few weeks about the fact that you are a co-heir, everything that was allotted to Jesus Christ is allotted to you today. Why? Because the word tells you this, you're a co-heir with Christ. Everything that was due to Jesus is due to you. Whenever people live captivated by that truth, whenever that grabs them, there's no room for anger. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to free you this morning from you. Some people go, well, I don't really think that. I'm really shy and I'm really timid. But it's exactly the same thing. People often misinterpret humility as talking yourself down, putting yourself down. When actually, you know, Penny and I do this all the time, and I've had to wise up, because every time I speak, I'd say to Penny, well, how was that today? And what I'm wanting her to say is, it was actually incredible. I became a Christian all over again, all right? And she'll go, no, at the start, what I was actually saying was, Penny, just tell me I'm brilliant, all right? Because I'm so insecure, I just need to know that I'm brilliant. And I've had to learn, coming on a journey, sometimes that what seemed like humility was actually just self-centeredness. I want you to speak into my life and tell me how great I am. Why? Because it was all about me. And what I'm learning is this, that the core of pride, which is the root of anger, is being self-focused and self-centered. It's esteeming you based on you and what you do and what other people think of you. Whether you're arrogant or whether you're timid, I don't really care. The essential issue is this, to be free from anger, you need to be free from yourself. That's why you get a vision of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing about him. That's why we talk about him. That's why we say read the truth about him. Let it dwell in your hearts. Why? Because the journey is you come away from you and all your offense and what you think, and you see this wonderful, incredible Savior who loves you, who speaks words of truth into your life, who says, when you come to me, all the past is gone. You're forgiven. You're not guilt. There's no shame or condemnation. Now let's go and have life to the full. And whenever you're captivated by him and his work, that goes. That goes. The more you're focused on yourself, the more people will make you angry. This might be hard for some people this morning. I don't want it to be. But what I've found in my life is this. The more you receive love, the more you flow in it, and it's harder to take offense. The more love there is in you, the more love there is through you. The more love in you, the more love through you. And if you're struggling as to why I'm not more loving, it's because you haven't received it first yourself. I have found in my life, my anger when I was younger was rooted in insecurity, was rooted in pride. And we as married couples, you work all that out. But the thing is this, every time when I come back to why, even on Friday, when I try to analyze why I acted like such a plonker, okay, because I did. And I did apologize to Penny, by the way, just in case you're thinking, dirty brute didn't do that. He did. But what I realize is I just felt aggrieved. And the Lord said, you know what? I love you. And you know what? I love your wife and I love your family, Andrew. And when I started to think about how much I had received, how much he loved me, and how much I was super blessed with the best family in the world, you know what? My anger left. Honestly, it left. And we ended up laughing about it. We ended up having a giggle like, what plonkers are we? So here's the right use of anger, and I'm going to do this in a few minutes. First Timothy, I said last week, so if you understand this, that wrong anger, the capacity that you have to feel anger is going to destroy you. That if you're wondering why you feel angry, actually it's all about you. Your life is centering around yourself. How do we use this capacity that God has given us to actually see differences in our lives? How do we actually use it to see fullness come? Because if it can destroy us, I said at the start, it can actually lead us into fullness. Well, how does that work? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called. Fight the good fight of faith. I said last week that many people are fighting against their friends, they're fighting against their family, they're fighting against their job, and it's all about fighting, and God, I'm fighting against the principalities and the powers, and I'm doing all this kind of stuff, and you're never called to fight anywhere in the Bible other than to stay convict in that place of conviction and persuasion that God is for you. That's the only fight in the Bible. You don't have to go up the cave hill and shout at all the demons, because Jesus has already put them under your feet. What he says is learn to stand in faith. Learn to stand in that positive conviction
conviction that God is for you, that he has good plans for your life, that he has made you brand new. And whenever you come to him, you are no longer in a place where God is angry and disappointed, but actually every day you wake up and say, God, I'm ready to receive your favor. That's the fight, to keep this mind and this heart focused on Jesus and his work. That's the good fight of faith. And anger is this orge capacity is your capacity to stand and fight against the work of the devil that tries to rob you of that fullness. I want to say God has placed the incredible power in you this morning. He's given you the power to create from your mouth, the power to live in fullness. And many of us who simply choose to accept the way the world is around us, we shrug our shoulders and we go, oh, that's just the way it is. I want to say this morning, God has set in front of you an incredible opportunity to live life in fullness. Why? Because when you come to Jesus, he says, I'm going to pour it into you and it's my gift to you. And many of us just go through life by going, do you know what? Que sera. I am sick, sore, and tired of Christians who shrug their shoulders and go, oh, it's just the way it is. I think, no, wake up. You have a capacity, and this anger that God has put in you, whenever you understand God's love, whenever you understand his promises, when they come into your heart and you dwell on them, you think on them, and they become part of you, what that does is it builds a capacity in you to not want what is against that or contrary to it. That's why many Christians aren't really bothered about whether they're sick. No, well, let me say, they're really bothered if they have cancer, but if they've got a headache, oh, that's just the way it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. This capacity for orge is about when you see that what is anti-kingdom in your life, which is what is robbing you of blessing and fullness, God says this, have a settled opposition to it. Many of us aren't opposed to it, and then we wonder why we don't see fullness. But this capacity is this, whenever you see darkness and you see the devil trying to steal and rob from you, be opposed to it and get angry. Jesus didn't wander into the temple and say, excuse me, fellas, do you mind? He went through them like a dose of salts. That's a bad picture. You get my gist? Whenever he saw those people who were robbing the family and the children of God, and that is you this morning, of every good thing that God had for them, it made his blood boil and he didn't sin with it. He said, I am opposed to that which is anti-kingdom because my right is that my children will see fullness. And what he says is this, if you're not seeing fullness, then get angry. Don't get angry at people. Don't get angry at your circumstances. Don't get angry at your boss. But where there's darkness, get angry at that and say, I am a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, and this is not my allotment. I am a son and an heir, and that is my right. See, whenever my son was... I probably will collapse at about 3 o'clock this afternoon because Ben, my wee lad, was sick through the night. And Penny and I have been up basically all night. And he had a temperature, and like his father, he's not a great sufferer. And, you know... About 2:45, he got up, and my brain really hurts. He had a wee big headache, God love him, and sweaty and feeling sick and all the rest of it. And I kind of lay there half dozing, and Penny took him downstairs. And you know what? Actually, I was in bed, and I thought, no, hold on a wee minute. This is my wee fella. He has a headache at 2:45 in the morning, and he's going to be sick. And I actually got really ticked off. And we came down, and Penny and Ben took communion. And I want to tell you, as Penny and Ben took communion in the kitchen last night, he changed like that. See, the sickness and all that, and he's not 100% yet this morning, but from wanting to throw up into the sink, and we've said, no, hold on a minute. We're going to remember that who we are and whose we are and what we have in Christ, and we simply celebrated that standing in our kitchen at 3 o'clock this morning, and the wee fellow went from wanting to throw up in that instant, to, okay, I'm good, and he went back to bed. You see, what we could have done is there, wee bit of whatever, and a crush up an aspirin, and there you go, because that's the way life is. No, it's not. See, for my family, I want the fullness of God. And so whenever things come that are anti-kingdom to me, I'm going to be in settled opposition to them in my head and in my heart. I'm saying no. And I get angry now whenever things try to rob me of fullness. I still get angry with people at times. But most of the time, as I understand more of God and who he is, I get really, really cross when anyone tries to take what is mine. Don't live with that's the way it is. Because as you live with that's the way it is, that's why you do not see fullness. Jesus never settled for a wee bit of sickness. It was always an enemy. Whenever he encountered sickness, he fought it with everything that he had, and he was in opposition to darkness. Many Christians have not had a grasp of the... Here's the point. God's love is so incredible. His grace is so wonderful. It will revolution. Listen to Adam's story. It changes you from the inside out.
But many of us need to understand that more and more and have more of an understanding and a revelation in our lives, because the more we see how incredible Christ is and his work for us, we will not live with counterfeit or anything else. But if the opposite is then true, if we're living with it and we're going, well, that's just life, stop. God has put this capacity in you to channel all of that feeling and emotion and all the rest of it to say, devil, darkness, this is not my allotment and I am not going to accept it. That's the right use of anger. God's for you. He's provided for you. He's predestined you to prosper. And so get angry at those things that rob you of what is yours. When you see lack, sickness, depression, understand that it's not yours and don't be passive. Complacency is killing the church of Christ today. Complacency is killing the church of Christ. And the only thing is this. I can't tell you don't be angry because it doesn't minister to your heart. It just puts you under law and you think, oh, I'll really try my best. But if you're in the car with, you know, outside, I'll probably get angry with you because I can't tell myself not to get angry. How I change is I see more of Christ and his work. I receive more love and I receive more grace and my heart changes as I get more captivated with him and not me. Matthew 11:12, and I finish with this. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. It's a Greek word, biastes. And it means to be fired up by a revelation of God so that you positively assert your rights as a believer. Like, the original language says it so much better than what I could say. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men, not people who sit back and go, oh, whatever. Why, okay, Sarah. That's, you're not going to see the kingdom of God in your life if that's the way you work. You get fired up by a revelation of God. Get fired up by a revelation of his love. Get fired up by a revelation of grace and favor in your life. Get fired up by a revelation of how incredible Jesus is. And then positively assert your rights as a believer. That's forcefully laying hold of the kingdom. Band, let's get ready now. I want to just finish by saying this. Your life this morning is going the direction that you want it to go. Okay? And I say that to free you, not to make you feel bad. I had this wake-up call, and we're going to respond right now. But your life basically goes the direction that you want. Whenever I understood that I was not a victim, but actually in Christ that I was an overcomer in every situation, I stopped being angry with other people. And I started to get a grasp of God's message to me and my family, to Penny and my kids, which was, I love you, I am for you, I have good things for you, now just get captivated by me. And I found my life started to take a different direction. And I really believe the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. The Holy Spirit this morning wants to do this. As we finish, we're going to sing a song to finish. If you've come in here this morning angry at someone, maybe you even, you know, I think in marriages it's a big one, isn't it? We can go through the motions, particularly if you're married. Actually, we can have big resentment towards our spouses. It might just simmer under the surface. Paragizmos. Don't let the sun go down in that. Why? Because you give the devil a foothold. I think some of us need to take responsibility this morning and say, I am no longer going to give the devil a foothold in my life. For some of us, God just says, I love you. Come to an end of yourself and look at me and how much I love you, and you will find love flowing out of you for the people that you're angry with. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you this morning that there is a way to freedom and a way to fullness. And it starts with understanding the incredible love of God.